Why, yes, it is a Thursday. Time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Brian, how you doing, man?
Doing well, brother. How you been?
I've been good. What'd you do? I got to ask you this right off the bat. What do you do, you guys that are play-by-play announcers, when you have a weekend off and there's no football game to call? What are you doing in your free time on Saturday? You just watching more football?
Yeah, you know, I my weekend, we had a charity event on Friday night for a local Kids Heart Foundation, and then I got away for about 24 hours with some buddies on a little guys trip to go watch football, and then wrapped it up with Hugh Jackman at the Sprint Center. So it was a jam-packed weekend, but watched plenty of football, a lot of NFL football on Sunday, and had a great time with it.
Awesome. All right, so the KU, the football team, back at it. And, of course, this will be the first game coming up this weekend with Brent Dierman as the offensive coordinator. What do you think we will see from the offense with him as the OC?
Well, a lot of run-pass options for sure. And it's going to be similar to what you saw versus Boston College. Hopefully similar results, although you obviously can't count on seven consecutive scoring drives and 48 points. But it will be a lot similar to what you saw there. And it's music to the ears of a guy like Carter Stanley, who ran a lot of RPOs in high school and is very familiar with this system. And as we talked about in Hawk Talk last night, it's not that it's simple overall, but if you have a mastery of knowing what you're looking for with your pre-snap reads, and you take what the defense gives you, you know, based on a linebacker that's either going to come up to try to stop the run when he sees the running back coming toward the handoff. If he comes up, then you go, you know, this other direction with the ball to an open receiver. If not this, then that, basically. And it boils it down to some pretty, I don't want to say simple decisions, but decisions that are allowed to be made quicker if you know what you're looking for and see where the defense is going. And to me, if you've got history in the system, which Carter Stanley has, and capable playmakers, which he absolutely has, it's a system that allows for a quarterback to get in rhythm, a lot of short passes, quick passes, spread the ball around, keep it moving, and it's much more, I think, consistently efficient than dropping back on five-step drops with four wide going out and hoping somebody gets separation and gets open. And so I think Puka Williams is going to be excited about it for the attention that it takes off of stacking the box. I think he'll be able to get some more one-on-one matchups on the edge, which is where he'll thrive. And so there's a lot of things that I think Kansas fans are going to see that look similar to what they saw in glimpses earlier in the season, but now over a larger sample size, and then hopefully what becomes the norm for us offensively.
All right, so Texas is the opponent coming up this weekend. Of course, Texas losing to Oklahoma this past Saturday, and the story of that game was Oklahoma's defense and Texas not able to protect Sam Ehlinger. 9 sacks in the game for the Sooner defense. Is there something that KU can take away from watching Oklahoma and what they did to Texas in regards to pressure and disrupting their offense?
Perhaps. Obviously, we don't have the personnel they have, but right. We do like our edge rushers. I think Najee Stevens, McKenzie, and the linebacking core has been great as well. But Azur Kamara and obviously Darius Moraney have been two of the better guys in rattling the cage of opponent quarterbacks. And whether they use a spy on a guy like Ehlinger, or maybe they don't have the personnel for that right now, as big up as we are in the linebacking core, I just don't know what it's going to look like. But I do think that Kansas can get some heat on him, but stopping his ability to run the football before he gets too deep downfield is going to be key. And this is clearly a monumental task to face him on the heels of Jalen Hurts, but maybe they can take the things they learned from the Finney Hurts and apply them to this week. But it's clearly a matchup that's going to favor Texas in that regard, given Kansas's vulnerabilities in the linebacking core right now as Drew Prox continues to be out. So I'm optimistic that they can be competitive there, but I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think a great key this week is the same we told you heading into the Oklahoma game. If the offense can possess the ball longer and sustain more drives and try to limit the number of snaps, possessions, and time of possession for Texas, that might be some of your best defense there, because it's obviously a really, really talented group top to bottom, and one that Kansas will certainly have a handful against. But KU went down there and was competitive a couple of years ago, and I think this group, it's a rejuvenated team with the offensive coordinator change. It's a team that realizes there's a lot of meat left on that bone. last 6 weeks. And after talking to Carter Stanley last night on Hot Talk, I mean, they're heading down there feeling like they can win this thing. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully you got a nicked-up Texas team that maybe still has its mind on last week, and you can catch them in a prime spot. But if not this week, as I've told you, I really feel like that last five-week stretch has ample opportunity for Kansas. Once you get these two big Goliaths out of the way with Oklahoma and Texas, I think it's a much more palatable slate down the stretch. And this club still feels like a lot of its goals from back in August are still there for the taking, but they'd obviously have to catch fire in a hurry. And the good news is the belief still is abounding throughout the locker room, especially with the changes that were made in the bye week. So I think they're in a good headspace. Now they got to put it out on the field, and hopefully we'll see that come Saturday night.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Bloyd, or call them 738-5701. Let's switch gears to the men's basketball team. The coach's preseason media team was selected. Udoka Azubuike, the preseason Big 12 Player of the Year. Of course, it doesn't mean a lot if you can't stay healthy, and I say this not as a shot at Udoka, but last year's preseason Big 12 Player of the Year was Dean Wade of Kansas State. And, of course, he had the health issues, the foot injury, and all that they dealt with the last couple of years. And that's really the story, isn't it? I mean, if Udoka stays healthy, odds are he will probably be he'll be one of the top players in the Big 12, if not across the country. But I think there were some people that are a little bit surprised Udoka was the preseason pick for the Player of the Year, because I think nobody was surprised that it was a Jayhawk, but I think some people thought it would be Devin Dotson that might be selected for that.
Yeah, you know, I've been telling folks that I thought Udoka would be the pick in October and Devon would be the pick in March. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way it's going to pan out.
Yeah.
It's okay to have to break down that way, because many times you look at, okay, who are the upperclassmen, who are the more veteran guys that will have physical maturity and, confidence having been in the league longer that we could pick here in given that preseason pick. But, you know, looking well, there was, of course, year, other stars are going to emerge and young guys are going to blossom. And I think Devon has loads of experience for a guy who's just starting his second season in this league, and by the time we get around January, February, when league play commences, he's not only going to be one of the top guards in this conference, but in the country. And I've told you before, I feel like this is an All-American season for him as a sophomore. So really excited to see what that's going to look like. And it's great to have October accolades, but as we all know, that doesn't mean anything when it's real season starts. But I think when you do see Udoka for the first time, you're going to notice a guy who's about 30 or 40 pounds lighter, which you might not think is a great thing as a big man, you know, if you want to be physically imposing. But what it's done for him is he's more agile, his conditioning is better, he's more confident. I mean, he's just a guy that right now is feeling like he's in his peak physical condition. And I think it's translated to confidence in not just the moves he makes offensively, but just confidence all over the floor and in life. And as one assistant described to me, he's taking his shirt off for no reason. He's just proud walking around because he's looking good. And definitely a guy that has grown up a lot before our eyes the last 4 years. I mean, keep in mind, he was 16 when he first showed up on campus. And so here he is at a body weight that I think gives him options in the minds of NBA scouts. They'll probably, when he gets to the next level, add 10 more pounds to him. But you'd much rather be in a position of just building a little bit onto your frame as opposed to having to lose 30 or 40. And so he's put himself in a really good athletic position to not only have the most productive season in his collegiate career, but be kind of putty in the hand and the perfect blank canvas for an NBA front office to paint on. Because, you know, you obviously can't teach your coach the wingspan and the height and all that, but he's got his body in a really good place, you know, to let whatever franchise drafts him, you know, do with him what they want to do in being able to have him compete and getting up and down the floor, but now maybe just add a little bit more if that's what they so choose. But as you know, the bigs in the league now are being asked to come out and stand on the perimeter, stuff that would have been difficult for him to do at 290, but it's much more manageable to do at 260. And so I think all the hard work in the offseason he's put in is going to pay off here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, that's good that somebody can, you know, take their shirt off and, you know, kind of strut like that. I know, you know, back in the day, I never did that. I don't know if you did. I sometimes you can go with the sleeveless shirt so you can, you know, show off the guns, as Ron Burgundy would say. But the rest of the physique usually have covered up. To be in great shape like these athletes are today.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm okay with where I'm at physically, but I'm as pasty white. I would blind you if you saw me take off the shirt. You'd be losing your sunglasses. So, I don't know that you need to see that.
Another reason why you got cut from the Miles to Go TV show, yes. Because
right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. This has to do with your school days, all right? What was the toughest class you've ever taken, whether it be high school or college, that maybe you were a great student, so you didn't have a class where you had a horrible grade, but what was the toughest class in high school or college for you to do well in, that you really had to work extra hard to get that good grade or to get by?
I got an easy answer to a tough class, and your listeners that are younger are going to think this sounds crazy. But you probably know what I'm talking about since we're similar age. My freshman year in high school, we had a typewriting class, what was the word they put on it? It was basically knowing your ASDFs, basically, but mm-hmm. we used typewriters, not computers.
Okay. Yeah.
And we walked in the first day, and there were different colored stickers over every single letter on the keyboard. Mm. And so if you had no idea what ASDF was, and Q-U-R-T, Q-W-E-R-T, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then you're being asked to type a 3-paragraph page of paper. I literally was just pecking like a bird, guessing where certain letters were, and then let out a yelp, yes, I got it, but when I nailed one right. And I was otherwise a 4.0 student in high school, but I actually we used to get 9-week grades. Mm-hmm. I had a C-plus at the end of the first 9 weeks because I'd never learned the keyboard before, and I turned it into a B by the end of the semester. It was the only B I ever got, and it was because I felt like we were starting out at an unfair advantage, or disadvantage, I should say, because they literally had every key covered, and how are you supposed to, you know, deliver immediately when you have no idea what you're doing? So that was not my favorite class, but mastered it now, thankfully, 20 years later. But an interesting way to do it, I'm an old-fashioned typewriter back in the day, in our Topeka Public Schools of 1995, I would say.
Yeah, the young people listening probably don't even know what a typewriter is because they've never had to do anything on that. That and the old dial tones or the dial telephone that's plugged into a wall. I've seen funny things online about young people like, here, figure out how to use this, and they have no idea how to use it. It's just funny from generation to generation. For me, the toughest class was geometry. To this day, I still don't understand it. I work so hard to understand it, and I had a 4.0 as well until I hit that class, and it didn't matter how hard I tried, I could not keep my 4.0 up. And once that happened, then I'm like, hey, anything from 3 to 4.0, I'm good. But I tried to keep up with the Joneses, with the smart kids in the class, and we had a smart class. We had, you know, at least a handful of kids that had a 4.0 up to that point, and I was a very competitive person, so I was trying to keep it going. But geometry blew that out of the water, so for me, geometry was really, really tough.
It's funny you mention that, because last night we were talking on Hawk Talk about how Coach Dierman was a math major and is a pretty brilliant mathematician on top of being this offensive mastermind. And so Coach Miles pulled the room. How many of you guys here would want to sign up to take trigonometry, geometry, and do all this for your elected studies? And only one person out of a room of 100 raised their hand. So I think the crowd at Hawk Talk can empathize with you.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have raised my hand either, that's for sure. All right, man, we look forward to listening to it this Saturday. Kickoff at 6 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake as the Jayhawks go down and try to pull off the upset against the Longhorns. Brian, safe travels, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, pal. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday here on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701.